Well, good.
Now, I know if you feel anything like I do, I'm human, and I go through cycles. And there's times in the morning I'm there's times in the afternoon I'm not so energized. And then you kind of come out and, you know, go through the evening. And so I understand the crowd to which I'm speaking could be a little I get that. I am too. So I will keep this under 2 hours. I'd be here longer than 2 hours. And I want to say thank you, too, for your care for us. I know your pastor does that, and he does an incredible job. They put us in a beautiful place and gave us a great basket and fed us some wonderful meals, and we're thankful for that, and we don't take it for granted. And so, but we know that's an extension, and so I want to say thank you for your care for us, and we feel very loved on, spoiled. And so we're going to be in John chapter 11. John chapter 11, I want to share some thoughts with you. We had a great lunch. And somebody labored, and we just got to sit and eat. I mean, that's kind of like a perfect world, isn't it? Somebody does the work, and you just get to enjoy the fruit of it. And they were kind of like, well, we're going to have hot dogs and hamburgers. I'm like, hot dog is my favorite. Hot dog. But I'm like, they don't go, I don't know, I never get tired of them. They're wonderful. John chapter 11, and I hope this will be an encouragement. Yeah, a challenge to you. Verse 17. We'll read through verse 31. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. So obviously, this is the story of Lazarus. Now, he was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and called for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily, went out, followed her, saying, She goeth into the grave to weep there. Father, I pray that you'd help us this afternoon. I'm thankful for these good people, their willingness to come and hear the word of God spoke. And so I pray that you'd bless our time. Lord, I've enjoyed the music. I've enjoyed the fellowship. So God, I pray that you'd bless the reading of the Bible and then, Lord, the declaration of these truths. I pray that you'd stir our hearts and challenge us to learn of what you're trying to convince Martha of in this passage. I pray that we would learn today. And I pray that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we know the last time Jesus was in this area, they wanted to stone him. We know that he loved this family and they loved him. We know that this family had faith in Jesus Christ and knew who Jesus was. She said, I believe thou art the Son of God. So they didn't need any more instruction on who he was. And even though they knew him, they still were dealing with the effects of living in a sin-cursed world. In other words, church, I want to encourage you and remind you that we are not immune from problems. Following Jesus Christ does not mean we don't have any problems. Lazarus was sick. He was sick enough that the family desired to inform Jesus of the situation. And by the time they send a messenger to let Jesus know, Lazarus dies. Their beloved brother dies. The one Jesus loved dies. And I'm sure they had thoughts that most people have when faced with a tragedy such as this. What could we have done different? We should have sent for Jesus sooner. Why wasn't Jesus here? Why did this have to happen? Why are we going through this now? How long is this going to last? What are we supposed to do now that he's dead? I'm sure they were just normal human beings asking the same questions that we ask. And we must not forget, even through tragedy, that the purpose of our lives is to bring glory to God. As we've already, as we'll try to make clear in this passage, the intention and end result of this entire passage is about the glory of God. It wasn't about the family. It wasn't about the death. It wasn't about the man Lazarus. It wasn't about the mourners that had gathered. It wasn't about the angry Jews desiring to kill Jesus. It was about the glory of God. And so with that being said, we learn about all these things as we watch this scenario unfold. We learn about sorrow in the glory of God. We learn about death in the glory of God. We learn about this man Lazarus in the glory of God. We learn about mourning in the glory of God. We see the sorrow, and we learn about what turns the sorrow into joy while God gets the glory. We learn about the resurrection and God's glory. That's what this passage is about, and I entitled it Sorrow and the Resurrection Truth. I only have 2 points. That's the good news. The first one's short. That's the other good news. The second one's long. That's the bad news. So number one, the sorrow. By the time Jesus arrives in Bethany, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. That's where we pick up in the passage. The reason that it's very significant is because in Jewish belief system, a person wasn't really dead until day 4. They believed that when a person died, their soul hung around for 3 days, ready to re-enter the body. If they didn't reunite in those 3 days, they were dead. They were really dead. So it was no accident that Jesus waited until he did, because glory was coming. The day the messenger sent for Jesus, 2 days he waited, and the day to return to Bethany makes up 4 days. So in this day and time, only the very wealthy or prominent figures even had the ability to be embalmed. It's a hot and dry climate, so when someone died, they buried them that very day that they died. A funeral was held, as many people as possible would attend. But out of respect, they would follow the procession, the tomb, for burial. There at the tomb, people would give memorial speeches. And as they left the tomb, the people would make 2 lines, and the principal mourners would pass between them. I'm just trying to paint a picture of what's taking place here. They're mourning. There's a great loss. There's a great crowd gathered. There's mourners that had been hired to come in and help the family deal with the loss of their loved one. In the house of mourning, customs were set. No food could be prepared. No phylacteries could be worn. No study was allowed. They weren't allowed to eat meat or drink wine. Food that had been brought couldn't be eaten in front of the dead. When the body was carried out of the house, all the furniture was reversed and the mourners sat on the ground or on low stools. On the return from the tomb, a meal was prepared by friends and neighbors. It consisted of bread and boiled eggs and lentils. The lentils and eggs represented life that was always rolling to death. So even what they're experiencing, even the food, is reminding them of what they're going through. Everything around them is mourning. Everything around them is sorrowful. Deep mourning lasted for 7 days. The first 3 days were weeping. They couldn't anoint themselves. They couldn't put on shoes. They couldn't engage in any study or business. They couldn't even wash. After the 7 days, they were 30 days of lighter mourning. Day 4. This is where we're at. Day 4, Jesus arrives. They all knew that Lazarus was dead. They were in day 4 of mourning. Life was not normal. It was saturated with the fact that you had lost someone you loved. Death had brought separation, and everywhere you looked reminded you of the fact that you were surrounded by sorrow. Mourners were hired to help mourn. As all of this is taking place, word arrives that Jesus is making his way to them. He's in the area, just outside the city. The Bible says that Bethany was 15 furlongs from Jerusalem. Well, a furlong is about 600 feet, so Bethany was just under 2 miles from Jerusalem. An area that would be very dangerous for Jesus to enter into. Are you paying attention? It's dangerous for him to enter, but his people are suffering, and he's willing to go anyway. There was no danger too great for Jesus to go in order to help his own. He was soon going to the cross, and an angry mob in Jerusalem was nothing for him to do. Martha, as soon as she heard, she ran out of the house to meet him. Mary stayed in her place. This is consistent with the account given to us in Luke about Martha marching into action and Mary being content to sit at his feet. Action is not bad. It just needs to be dictated by love for Jesus Christ and balanced by time with him. So we see this depressing setting. People surrounded by the reality of their loss. And it was a real loss. Death had come and taken their loved one away from them. There was real sorrow. There was real suffering. There was real feelings. No one's denying that they were going to face similar things in our lives. No one's denying that we're going to deal with unpleasant circumstances. Nobody's denying that what you're going through is easy. I'm not saying that. The Bible's not saying that. The Bible's not making light of what these people were going through. Salvation doesn't give us a free pass from sorrow, but it does, however, give us hope. So number one, you have the sorrow. Number two, you have the resurrection. Martha finds Jesus, and what's on her heart escapes from her mouth. I don't believe this was an indictment. I believe it's a statement of faith. It was a true statement. Lord, if you were here before he died, you could have kept this from happening. That's a true statement. It was a statement that defined her experience. In verse number 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She believed that Jesus was connected to God. I know that whatever you ask of God, it'll be done. The statements following don't give us evidence that she was referring to him raising Lazarus. That wasn't in her mind. She's just simply saying, you're God. You're connected to God. And so we know that whatever you say goes. We know that whatever you say, God's going to do. So just her confidence in Jesus getting from God whatever was best for this situation, that's what she was communicating. And so Jesus declares the resurrection truth. Martha. And this really is the crux of the message. We're getting into the meat of it. And so this is important. Martha, your brother shall rise again. Lord, I know that. I know in the last day he will rise again. She had faith. She believed God. I believe she was a child of God that was trying to depend on her God. I know God. Someday he will rise again. She had believed the truths that God had taught them. They didn't have a Bible as we have in our hands. They would have had the Old Testament, which didn't give them a lot of information about the resurrection or life after death. Some revelation, but not portions of the scripture that we have available to us today. So I really believe her statement reveals her faith. I will see him again. It appears, though, that her profession of faith is bolder than her actual faith. She believed Jesus would someday take care of her problems she was dealing with that day. She didn't believe that he could take care of those needs that day. Jesus is trying to get Martha to see that he was the answer to her prayers that very moment in time. What Jesus said next is profound. She was fixing to be introduced to hope that would change her life and all of those lives around her. It's the fifth of the seven I am statements. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. See, Martha was focused on what God was going to do in the future. Jesus was about to teach her what he could do right now. He was and is and forever will be the resurrection. He is the omnipotent one. He is the one with power over death, power over the grave, and power over sin, power over any other struggle, battle, weakness that we have in our lives. He is the resurrection. The law showed us that we're guilty of sin. Sin reveals the offense to a holy God. A holy God says the results of sin is death, separation from him in a place of judgment called hell. The answer for death is life, which is found in Jesus Christ. The answer to sin is righteousness given to us by Jesus Christ. The answer to conquering the old man, the sin nature, is a God nature, a holy nature given to us at salvation. The answer to a sorrowing heart now is not just hope of it ending in the future, but the power of the resurrected Christ to help us deal with our problem now. God is not just good for the end times, church. He's good, and he's the answer for all times. Verse 25, I am the resurrection, Martha. He is. He didn't say, I will be the resurrection, Martha. He said, I am the resurrection. I'm not just your help someday. I'm your help this day, Martha. Dr. G. Brown said, and I quote, see how the Lord proceeds to instruct and to elevate her mind. How graciously he bears with her passing fretfulness. How tenderly he touches the still open wounds. How he leads her from grieving over her brother to believe yet more fully in her Savior. Martha, stop dwelling on the problem. Pay attention to the answer. You're dwelling on the problem. Pay attention to the problem solver. How he raises her from dwelling on Lazarus being dead to repose implicitly in him who is Lord of life. How he diverts her from thinking of only of a remote and general resurrection to confide in him who is even at this present time the resurrection and the life. See, when we are in Christ, we have all that we ever need for life, for death, for time, for eternity. God's resurrection power is available right now. Even though a person is dead spiritually, they will be made alive spiritually. Even though a redeemed person physically dies, they will live physically again. That's what the Bible teaches us. He that liveth, we only live because of him. He that believeth in Christ shall never die. In other words, you possess eternal life right now. Again, we have what we need today and what we need then. Hey, Jesus is just as good then as he is today. And that's what he's trying to convince Martha. That's what the whole message is about. Jesus asked her if she believed this. In verse 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So she makes reference to three titles of Christ and confirms that he was sent from God. And it would seem that she was settled in her faith. And yet later in this account, she questions the Lord concerning Lazarus' resurrection. She wasn't getting it. When he says, open it up, look, stop. He's dead. He stinketh. He's been in there 4 days. You don't want to do that. She's not understanding what Jesus is trying to convince her of. And I think this is where most people live their lives. We believe that we'll make it out of here someday. We just don't think Jesus is a lot of help this day. I think if I were to ask Central Baptist Church, how many of you believe that the moment you take your last breath, to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord? Well, I think all of us say, oh yeah, oh yeah, I take my last breath, I'm going to be with Jesus. If you were to die today, where would you spend? I'm going to be in heaven. Well, how do you know that? Well, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said that if I have faith in him, that he gives me his life, and that he in John 14, that he's going to go prepare a place for us, and where he is, he's going to bring us to where he's at. I mean, that's what the Bible says. I believe that when I die, that Jesus is going to take care of me. You have enough faith to believe that God is good for you someday, but you cannot trust him to take care of you this day. Oh, you got an honorary husband? And you feel like you have to manipulate and control, and you're the one that you got to take charge, because you can't trust Jesus with your husband. You can trust him with eternity, but you can't trust him with your husband. You got trouble with your wife, and so you're gonna be the man, and you're gonna let the hammer down, and you're gonna draw a line in the sand, and this is the way it's gonna be, woman. Oh no, yeah, go ahead. You take control of your marriage. Go ahead. You're the man. You're in charge. You can't trust Jesus to do anything with her heart today, but you can trust him with heaven for eternity. That's what he's saying, Martha. That's great that you believe that I can help you someday. That's great that you believe I'm going to raise Lazarus in the other day. I am the resurrection, Martha. I'm good for today. I can help you today. You got bitterness because somebody did you wrong, and you're holding on to your hurt, and you just can't trust Jesus with your hurt. But you can trust him with your eternity. That's amazing. You have habits that aren't pleasing to Christ. God can't help you overcome something like a bad habit. He's not God enough to help you today, but you're going to trust heaven someday. That didn't make any sense. If you can trust him with your last breath, you can trust him with your breath today. I don't care what your problem is. Jesus, I am. I already am. I already am everything you need. I am the life. You want to live, you come to me. You want life, you come to me. I'm just telling you, most of us live with, yeah, no, I know. God's got eternal life. Oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven when I die. But man, my financial problems, you just don't understand, preacher. No, it's not me that doesn't understand. It's you that doesn't understand that he is the resurrection and the life. Your financial problems are not a problem for the God of the universe that owns the whole earth. R.C. Linsky wrote, "To believe this is to believe what he says of himself, and thus to believe in him. It's one thing to hear it, to reason and to argue about it, and quite another thing to believe, to embrace, to trust it. To believe is to receive, to hold, to enjoy the reality and the power of it, with all that lies in it of joy and comfort and peace and hope. The measure of our believing," in parentheses, "while it is not the measure of our possessing, since the smallest faith has Jesus, so the measure of our believing the resurrection and the life completely is yet the measure of our enjoyment of it all." In other words, what he's saying is, you'll never enjoy the resurrection and the life if you're waiting on it for someday. What Jesus wanted Martha to do is say, "Jesus, I have a problem today, and I believe you can help me today." That's what he wanted. Believe it. Embrace it. You have a problem? Jesus is the answer. No. But you don't understand my problem. You don't know. No. See, you're focused on the problem. You're not focusing on the problem solver. And that's what Jesus was trying to get Martha to understand. You're looking at the wrong thing. Because if all you look at is the problem, you're going to be overwhelmed. Because your problems are bigger than you. Hello? That's humanity. But they're not bigger than God. In other words, you can be in sorrow and struggle and weariness and weakness that someday you're going to be delivered. But it doesn't mean that you have believed him, that you're already empowered with the resurrection and life and are joining him today. You can do that. Can I just remind you that sorrow is either here or it's coming? The resurrection is not just power in the end to conquer death in the grave, though it does, praise the Lord. But it's power now to live strong, settled, resolved, joyful through the times in life, because he is the resurrection in life. By encouraging the church, he is not just the God of the future. He's the God of the now. And I know you have problems. I have problems. I have 7 children. 3 of them are married. One of them lives out of the house in the military. 3 are still at home. That means I have 7 problems. I get it. I live a blessed life. It doesn't mean I'm not without financial struggles at times to connect all the dots. We all go through it. But how ridiculous to sit and say, you know, I mean, it's not what God intended. It's for us to sit here and say, you know, I'm praying for God to come back. I'm praying for the rapture. Why? So get me out of here. It's not what God intended. God intended you to enjoy today in hope, waiting on that day that he will resurrect us. I hope that's clear. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. As you stand to your feet, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Church, I just want to encourage you this afternoon. I think so much of our life is spent with faith in what God's going to do in the person of God. And I love that statement, I am Martha, I already am. I already am the victory. I already am your help. I already am the raiser of the dead. And I'm just saying, if she had a hard time grasping it, that means I'm going to have a hard time grasping it. And yet that's what Jesus was trying to communicate. Struggles are with these people. If they're anything like me, they have them. And if they're not in one today, one's coming tomorrow. And if they're not in one today, they just came out of one yesterday. It could be relational. It could be familial. It could be financial. It could be health. Lord, but whatever the struggle is, you want them to know that victory is being offered today. Don't wait on the rapture. As my mentor told me, are you excited about his appearing or your disappearing? And I had to answer honestly. I just want to get out of here. And that's the wrong mindset. I should be in love with Jesus and grateful for what he does and what he can do. So I pray that you'd give us victory today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.